Welcome, Christian Israel. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve. This is Sunday, September 9th, and this is Bloodlines, and we're going to do part 8 of our series on words as weapons. And so we're going to, we'll just direct you to the website www.anglo-israel.com. And the article is called Arsenal of Words, and we're going to drop down near the bottom of the article.
That's Anglo-SaxonIsrael.
Right.
.com.
Right.
You just said Anglo-Israel.
Oh, I did. Okay. Yeah, there's another website called that. That's run by David in Missouri. That's a good site, too. All right. And so the three main laws of separation that are part of Scripture, and of course, those of you who are familiar with Christian identity and Eurofolk Radio, you know that the Bible is written exclusively to, by, for, and about Israelites, and no other group of people is included under the auspices of Israel. There is no such thing as spiritual Israel. There is no such thing as bringing other races, other tribes, other nations in under the broken branch, grafting in. We have covered this material many, many times, proving that Paul never said any such thing. He was talking of the broken off branch, a branch that was broken off the original tree, not grafting unrelated trees into the tree. Okay? These are just examples of how the churches have misled Christianity and turned it into Judeo-Christianity. So today we're going to be talking about the separation that we are supposed to maintain of our race. Okay? And even that word Gentile, we covered it, I think, last Friday on Yahweh's Covenant People. Paul never used the word Gentile, and the actual definition of the word Gentile is race, comma, nation. And so it is most proper, when we know that he's talking about the nation of Israel, to simply put in the race, meaning the race of Israel. Okay?
Well, and Gentile itself is gentilis, and it means not a citizen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a Roman citizen. It's a Roman word. It's a Roman word. It's not a Greek word or a Hebrew word. So it has no application to either Testament.
Well, it was another insertion meant to deceive and confuse.
Mm-hmm.
It was planned.
Right.
It was not by accident.
Okay? Right. And it was designed, it was put in there deliberately to falsely convey the impression that Paul is the apostle to the non-Israelites. No, he is not. He never made such a claim. He was apostle to the dispersed 10 tribes. That's what that means. Because he is generally speaking to the house of Judah. But even the Romans were dispersed Judahites. The Romans were Judahites either from Zerah, Judah, and in some cases Judahites that had left. They fled all the violence and chaos going on during a Maccabean period and set up a Roman community. Okay? So Paul was speaking to those. They were true Judahites. So, and the broken off branch, that was the Zerah Judahites. Here they broke off the branch way back in 1500 BC, never went through the Exodus.
Nope.
So, Okay.
And so, part of the tribe of Dan left before the Exodus.
Yes.
And they sailed reed boats all over the place, including mm-hmm. North America.
Yeah, but primarily Ireland.
The Danube River.
Mm-hmm. Rome.
Dan's Mark.
Right, right. So
they were big-time traders, and they built these huge boats. And they had like a flotilla. They'd all go, and if a storm came up, they all bunched up, and they tied all the boats together so they wouldn't be lost. That was that was the mariner's way back then when you had a flotilla of they didn't have ocean liners. They didn't have big steel boats.
Right.
That would weather massive storms.
Yeah, or float. They hadn't mastered that technology yet. Right.
Well,
right.
They were very experienced, and they sailed along coastlines and did business with all the coastal cities all up through in there. Little hamlets, they'd bring supplies, and they'd get paid for it.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And they were the primary sailors of the Kingdom of Tyre, which probably had a lot of Canaanite businessmen doing the money work while the Israelite sailors did the sailing and much of the mining and delivering of the goods, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the tin mines in England, they had to bring refined tin back because they used that to make bronze.
Right, right. Okay.
And copper, all of that. Our history is a rich history, which they don't teach anymore.
That's right. That's right. The Judeo churches don't teach any history at all. It's an anti-historical version of Judeo-Christianity because real history contradicts what they teach. All right, so that's why they don't go there. But I'm going to drop down to the second paragraph here under the three main laws of separation. Briefly put, we cannot deviate from ethical behavior with respect to non-Israelites and certainly with Israelites. We're not supposed to torture animals. We're not to torture two-legged beings. We're not supposed to pull the wings off of butterflies, right? We're not supposed to engage in any kind of unethical behavior. Now, if we're attacked by somebody, we have the absolute right to defend ourselves, but we're supposed to obey Yahweh's laws, and most of the time we're supposed to be living among ourselves in Israelite communities, not in multiracial communities, where virtually all of the strife and chaos occurs in multiracial communities. We're not supposed to live in these types of communities. The Jews have created that for us, okay? And then it says, especially we are not to act like the Jews, who arrogate unto themselves the, quote, right to mistreat non-Jews, even to the point of murdering non-Jews without incurring a Talmudic penalty. Of course, this is Satanism, plain and simple. Now, Adam, the Adamites, were given the instruction to, first of all, replenish the earth, but also to husband the planet. And take care of it.
Yeah, we were to be the overseers and maintain the purity and stuff of the soil, the air, the water, which we have not done. We have abrogated our responsibility.
Yeah. And the only nation that Yahweh instructed the Israelites to completely wipe out are the Canaanite nations. With respect to the other nations, he gave Joshua very specific instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 20. We are to engage them and give them terms of peace. And if they do not agree with those terms of peace, then we are to fight them. Otherwise, put them under our dominion, under tribute. Okay? This is exactly what the Boer nation did with regard to the Zulu. They made terms of peace.
The whole idea with the Canaanite nations, Yahweh did not want them wiped out because they were of a little mixed seed.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them wiped out because of their religious practices, which were abhorrent to Yahweh. They were devil worshipers and idol worshipers, and did human sacrifice and threw babies into mm-hmm. burning fires and
yeah. And they were practicing
on and on and on. Same deal, different day with yeah. the adversary's children that we have to deal with today.
Yes, yes.
They, and they have not changed their methodology.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
are still children of devil.
Right. But also because they had their bloodline, and the vast majority of these Canaanites carried the bloodline of the fallen ones and the giants in them, and these people could not be redeemed. So, nope. But there were strays, and obviously stray women and children were captured by the Canaanites and forced into slavery, living along with these Canaanites, and those people cannot be regarded as blood descendants of the Nephilim. They were captured and they were slaves. So, and Yahweh arranged, in fact, that's one of the disputes that I had with William Fink regarding the woman of Canaan who asked for her daughter to be healed. And
it's like it says Ruth was a Moabite. Well, no, she was not a racial Moabite.
Right, right.
She was living in the occupied territory of Moab.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They occupied that territory. They wiped all those people out, ran them out, and it was occupied territory. She was an Israelite woman in occupied
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So knowing that, he still told her, I cannot give you the children's bread. So he acknowledged she is not an Israelite, but the likelihood of her having Nephilim blood in her is not great. I mean, it's not possible that she had Nephilim blood in her, because those are the people that Yahweh ordered Israel to exterminate. And those would be the Edomites of the Nephilim bloodline. Okay, so he would have no reason to heal her daughter. So chances are that Canaanite woman was simply a non-Israelite, could be of any race really, but not having any Edomite or Nephilim blood in her. Otherwise, you know, Yahshua would never heal her daughter.
Well, what people fail to realize, and this is the main problem with the exterminationists, Yahweh is the divine being. He's not only the divine being of Israel, but of all creation. Those that are not enemies of Israel, by their behavior, that do not try to harm us, will not be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there that are not our enemies, but neither are they of our bloodline. They will
right.
live outside of New Jerusalem. They will receive the blessings of Yahweh because of the purification of the planet. Their lives will be so much better, but they're not going to get eternal life. They're not yeah. going to be able to enter the city. There's going to be classes of people,
mm-hmm.
like there always has
like
been.
There always, and races.
And, right. and the different races, he doesn't say to kill them all, only the enemies.
Right.
And there are certain enemies that have the satanic seed line. If
That's
they have
right.
the satanic bloodline, they are to be killed.
That's right.
If they do right. not have the satanic bloodline, they're just of a different race.
Yeah.
If they behave themselves properly, they don't get destroyed. But they will be servants. They will be a class of
yes.
servants.
Yeah, and we will. We were ordered to take dominion, but that also means husbandry, meaning taking care of everything. And
they
will
be hewers
yeah.
of wood, drawers of water. They'll till the soil for us under mm-hmm. our direction, because Israel at that point, when the second coming and the kingdom is fully here, we will be the ruling class, and we are to rule benignly. We
That's
are
right.
not to be tyrannical. That's a characteristic of the adversary.
That's
children.
Correct. That's correct. That's why I said we're not supposed to act like Jews. Okay.
That's correct. That's okay. That's what it says right here.
Yeah. Right.
We are to. You can rule, but you rule justly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. You're not a
right.
tyrant.
Right. Okay, so
let's move on into this.
Yeah, so we're, number one, we are not to worship with non-whites. And, of course, son of Adam, Yahshua went out of his way to refer to himself as the son of Adam, which is the direct descendant of the Adam to show blood in the face. It's used in that sense in the Old Testament, and therefore it has to be used in the same sense in the New Testament, because not only is Israel to be exalted with the 144,000 rule in the New Jerusalem, all things will be restored to what they were like before the fall of Adam and Eve. Okay? So that means the other, and it says it was very good. It didn't say it was perfect, right, in Genesis chapter 1. It said it was very good. But this time around, it's going to have unfallen representatives of the Adamic race having dominion over everything, and this planet, I aver, even in the universe, we're going to have, our rule is going to be over the entire universe, not just planet Earth. The Earth will be the headquarters, okay? So, we are not to worship with non-whites. Our Bible studies and religious fellowships are to remain exclusive and strictly segregated at all times. And, of course, this has to do with the Adelphos. What we see in the New Testament is we are only to affiliate with the Adelphos, the of the same womb, that is Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob and his four wives. These are the wombs from which the direct descendants of the house of Jacob come. We are not to fraternize with any other people, although we see that we are able to intermarry with Adamites because they're the same race, but not with any other race. So the race of Adam will be restored to its dominion, because that dominion prophecy was made before the breath of life was breathed into Adam in Genesis 2:7. Okay? So the rest of the white race will be elevated along with us, but it's the 144,000 that will rule from New Jerusalem. Okay, so from this we get Deuteronomy chapter 7, and the first 10 verses all talk about we are not to intermarry with particular tribes, especially the Canaanites. Okay, and in Acts 2:42, which is more of a positive command, and John 1 verses 3 through 7.
Yeah, 2:42, and they were continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the emissaries, and in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers, because mm-hmm. these were all Israelites together.
Yes, right.
There was no non-Israelites in with them.
Mm-hmm. And as we discussed in our study of Acts chapter 13, we did a two-part series on Yahweh's covenant people, showing that only Israelites attended that Feast of Pentecost. It would have been illegal for any Israelite to invite a non-Israelite even, okay? So because the promises were made exclusively to the 12 tribes and to no other people. So there's no possibility.
Yeah. Now we can have business dealings with non-whites.
That's right.
They're in the world. We have to deal with them. We're not going to wipe them all out. But you don't bring them home. You don't introduce them to your son or your daughter.
Yeah, right.
You don't let your son or your daughter date one.
Yes.
If you have to take a strap to them, then that's what you got to do. But you will not be going out with that.
Uh-huh. Right.
Ain't happening.
Yeah, exactly. So
I brought you into the world. I can take you.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm going to switch to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So there's no knowing him without keeping his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So this is an indictment of the entire Judeo-Christian world, because they preach that they know him, but they do not keep his commandments. All you have to do is...
Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right
yes.
there. What?
Yes.
You know, lip service doesn't cut it.
That doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it, but that's what we have primarily in this world today. Why don't you take 1 Corinthians chapter 2, was it? Two?
No, chapter 5.
Chapter 5.
Chapter 5, and I've got a thing in chapter 6. I will be reading from the Scriptures.
Okay.
By the Institute for Scripture Research. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 9 through 13. Okay. I wrote to you in my letter not to keep company with those who whore. In other words, promiscuous people.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10. And I certainly did not mean with those of this world who whore, or with the greedy of gain, or swindlers, or idolaters, you know, dishonest people, people that stray into other religions or keep company with people that are in other religions, you know, pagan goddesses and stuff. Since then, you would need to go out of the world or his order of arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Verse 11, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone called a brother, quote unquote, if he is one who whores or greedy of gain or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. You don't invite him over for dinner and you don't go out.
Yeah.
A restaurant. Let's
right.
go get a couple of beers. No thanks. I got to go home.
Let's go to the strip club.
All right. Verse 12.
Right. Yeah.
For what have I to do with judging outsiders, people outside our
mm-hmm.
faith?
Mm-hmm.
Do you not judge those who are inside? In other words, we have
right.
rules. And if you claim to be one of us, and present yourself to our Christian identity community as one of us, there are rules you must follow.
Yes.
And we as Israelites don't judge. The word itself judges.
That's right.
Okay, that's the whole thing. Judge not, but lest ye be judged. Okay, but if they go contrary to the word,
mm-hmm.
that's blatant. That's plain. The word has made a statement.
Yes, yes.
And we have to do that. Okay, verse 13, but Elohim judges. Okay,
mm-hmm.
God judges. Elohim judges, not us.
Yes.
Those who are outside. And put away the wicked one from among you. In other words, break fellowship
right.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
Do not have anything to do with them.
They're
if
to be.
They apostatize and they are living and they're doing things contrary to the word, you must love Yahweh more than you love anyone else.
And Steve,
must obey his command.
That's judgmental. to cast them out, right?
Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9. And 10.
Okay.
Okay. 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the reign of Elohim? Do not be deceived, neither those who whore, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals.
Abusers of themselves with mankind.
It says right here.
Right.
Homosexuals. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor greedy of gain, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the reign of Elohim.
But God loves everybody. Haven't you heard that? God loves everybody.
He is also a God of justice.
There you go.
He has rules he follows. He is consistent, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
All right. And for that last verse, verse 10, you can see Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5.
Right. Right. And so that actually covered number 2, we're not to break bread with non-whites. Number 1, we're not to associate with them. And, of course, Matthew chapter 15, the parable of the apostles asked him, why do you preach in parables? That's because I don't want those out there to be converted. This is the message. The secrets of the kingdom are for you exclusively and not for them. Okay?
Correct.
All right? So there's plenty of proof, even in the New Testament, that this is an exclusive religion, if you want to call it that.
Oh, Yahweh, he loves everybody. No.
Yes.
Actually, he does right. not.
Yes, right. So the general rule of thumb is no social fraternization with non-Israelites and non-whites. Official business only, just like a chaperone at the prom. And this is what the parents have to do, is to make sure no blacks come into the household and date your daughters, and vice versa. Okay. Number 3. We are forbidden to engage in sexual relations or any form of intimacy with non-whites. I guess we actually already covered that. But
but no matter how cute that little Cuban gal is,
right?
Not to do that. And that was one of the problems that one of the brothers had. He was with a non-white woman.
Yeah, what's that song? Was it Laredo? El Paso. Down in the deep Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Oh no! Yeah, yeah. That was bad.
Goodbye. Well, he got shot.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. He could have changed the lyrics. I guess he paid the price, didn't he? All right. So he could have said, I fell in love with a Texian girl. You have to change the words a little bit. But Ezra 9:2.
One community down there that's nothing but Germans. I fell in love with a pure German girl.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
That would be me.
Yeah, right. Cincinnati.
Those blonde Fräuleins.
Right, right. Mädchen.
I love the Deutsche Fräuleins.
The Deutsche Mädchen, right? Yeah, yeah. Ezra 9:2, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed, that is the seed that's been set apart, have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. And we see that again today, because the Judeo-Christian ministry preaches racial integration.
Yep.
Okay? So it's happening all over again. You should know that the Adamic DNA is holy seed. It is forbidden for you to mix your holy seed with the heathen seed. If the Jews practice the law of Moses, why do they blatantly ignore Ezra 9:2 and Deuteronomy 23:2? They marry anything.
No, not 23:2. That's wrong.
Okay.
That says, shall not enter he that is wounded by crushing of the testicles or his penis cut off.
Oh, okay.
It's 23:3. shall not enter a Mamzer into the congregation of Yahweh, even to the tenth generation shall he not enter the congregation of Yahweh. That's one of mixed blood.
Okay. Okay, I got a typo there. I say I've actually got several typos in this document that I have to go in and clean up. But First Kings,
write that down.
Yeah, right. No, I'll remember that one. I'll remember that one. All right, so 1 Kings 11:1-2. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites. Now, this time it's a racial term. Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites of the nations concerning which Yahweh said unto the children, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. And the Bible is very specific.
Well, I'll have to say, in some versions of the Bible, it is 23:2.
Oh, okay.
So you might have been going by the King James.
Okay, maybe that's what it is in the King James. Okay. All right, thanks for letting me know that. Okay. Jeremiah 2:21, yet had I planted thee a noble vine, a holy right seed, how then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Okay, this is clearly a warning against race mixing. A degenerate, that means the genes are degenerating, right?
Even in the scriptures here, it is 23:2.
Oh, really?
Because in the Hebrew, verse 1 is 23:1. A man shall not take his father's wife. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew is actually different.
Okay. All right.
They've changed things in the English.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting. I'm going to drop down to Ezra 10, verse 11. Now, therefore, make confession unto Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. How many times are we told that we must separate ourselves from strangers, from the strange people, from the strange nations? And then jumping to Nehemiah.
Well, strange means foreign, non-Israelite.
Mm-hmm. Certainly in this context.
Yes.
And yes, okay. And sometimes a stranger can be someone not unknown to you, but from an Israelite tribe or from an Adamic tribe. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there's certain strangers like Nokri, which are forbidden to associate with us altogether.
Azur is like a sojourner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the Nokri, not to have anything to do with the Nokri.
Yeah.
That's a racial alien.
Right, and they're to be killed if they try to horn in on our ceremonies. The Bible says that we're to kill them, right? If they try to mingle with us, or you know, and that's basically what the Jews have done. But we're not in a position to execute judgment at this time. Okay, Nehemiah 10:28. They had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, having knowledge and having understanding. So Ezra and Nehemiah cleaned house and demanded that the Israelites there return to obeying his laws. Verse 30.
And a whole bunch of them took off with their wives.
Yes, some of them did. Yeah, yeah.
You got to call the herd, man.
Right, and trim the tree. Right, okay.
That's it. You know, you got to make a choice.
Yeah. So Nehemiah 10:30. This is basically reiterating the laws of Deuteronomy chapter 7. And didn't you have a cross reference from a different chapter of Deuteronomy, Pastor Steve? While I read this,
I read that.
Oh, you did. Okay. Nehemiah 10:30. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. It's virtually a repeat of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Okay. Nehemiah 13:30. Thus cleanse.
They will trap you in their pagan ways.
That's
right. They'll bring their pagan ways in with them, which is what has happened. Look what we have in the Judeo-Christian churches today with Christ's Mass, Requiem Mass for a dead Christ, Ishtar Sunday for the goddess of fertility, the Christmas tree, a pagan tree. We're full of paganism today in these Judeo-Christian churches.
Yes, yes.
And you wonder why we have come out from them.
Right, right. Because we're doing what we're commanded to do. Even from among the people of our own race, because we just read the scriptures.
I show these Judeo-Christians, these devout Christians, I show them in scriptures where they're doing paganism, and then they won't come around me, they won't talk to me anymore. Because they might have quit their social club.
That's right.
And they're not willing to do that. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to make the break.
Oh, excuse me, I have a golf outing at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, no, I don't wanna discuss it with you anymore. You're right. A hater.
Yeah, right. Yes, yes.
I quoted the scripture. Is that hate?
Yes.
My pastor says you're a hater. I can't have anything to do with you. Well, yeah. Leroy and Marilyn, they quoted scripture and asked all these questions. They were told not to come back.
That means they have no love of scripture. I mean, you make a direct quotation from scripture, and they hate you for it.
Oh, they absolutely hate
you for it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll get violent over it.
Right. Thus saith Nehemiah, thus I cleansed them of all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, everyone in his business. So, the very word holy means separate.
Set apart.
Right.
Dedicated to Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. And only
no
Israel.
No straying with any others.
Yes, yes. Moreover, I'm dropping down. Moreover, we are never to have non-Israelites ruling over us.
Never.
Oh, shoot! My page
Barack
jumped.
Barack Hussein Obama.
Oh man! Right. Talk about violations. Deuteronomy 17:15. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee who is not thy brother. Or of thy race. Okay. Do you have that? Let me see if I can find that and see which word for stranger is being used here. Deuteronomy 17:15. It's probably either Zur or Nokri, one or the other.
I'll tell you in just a second.
Okay, I'm almost there myself.
All right, 17:15. Alien race, man of alien race.
Mm-hmm.
That's Nokri.
Okay, it's Nokri. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, it's Ish Nokri, a man of a strange race.
That's right.
Okay. So what are the Judeo-Christians going to do with that?
That's Akika, your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your kinsman.
Right.
Racial kinsman.
Yes. Whoever is our ruler must be of our own race, and we are not to accept any other personage as a leader over Israel. No way, no how.
How many of the Talmudists are ruling over us now in state government, local government, federal government, corporations? Foreign Nokri, George Soros, all of that.
Yes, yeah. Now, it's interesting.
He has influence here.
Yes, absolutely. Let me read the next paragraph. Of course, if we're not race mixing to begin with, this can never happen. Nor should our leaders be other than well-versed in the Holy Scriptures, verses 16 to 20 of Deuteronomy 17. Authorize and command us to appoint God-fearing, law-abiding men only, not scripture-denying atheists or liberals, even if they are of our own race. And this is what the founders of America tried to do.
A man's greatest enemy will be those of his own house. Our Adamite, Israelite brothers and sisters are the ones that are the biggest haters of us.
That's right. That's right.
And that is a sad situation.
Yes. Yes.
It is.
Okay. The fact is that throughout history, the various races have always instinctively separated themselves from other cultures, following the natural law of kind after kind, which, and it gives all kinds of Bible references, Genesis 1, 11, 12, 21, 24, 25, etc. The history of America bears this out, as blacks, Orientals, Hispanics, Jews, and other distinct ethnicities have always remained within their own communities, and usually this is by their own choice. Okay?
Yeah, you look at the barrios in the main cities with Mexican stores, Mexican restaurants, Mexican this, Mexican that. They live in a particular neighborhood. They call it the barrio.
Even the American Indians, the Amerindians, hang out with their own tribes. They don't even mingle with other Indian tribes.
They have their enemies.
Right. They want to maintain their ethnic separation. That's what they want to do. It's only the Jews who insist upon racial integration. Okay? So this is what the world needs to understand. Only until very recently, due to the onslaught of race-mixing propaganda by the Jewish media and the Judeo-Christian pulpit masters, race-mixing was a universal taboo and rarely engaged in. Of course, the Ku Klux Klan assisted in enforcing Yahweh's laws of segregation regionally here in America. But even they couldn't stem the tide of demonic Jew-engineered social change that swept across the country during the turbulent 60s. At least they were following Yahweh's law. Are you? Okay? At least the Ku Klux Klan was trying to follow Yahweh's law of racial segregation. All right? Okay? And even in the North, before the so-called, what's his name, LBJ's war on poverty, which is actually a war against the white race, there was very little crime, there was very little racial integration, and in fact, the black community, black communities around the country, especially in Harlem, were actually very well off. They practiced their own form of Christianity. They actually had a higher rate of unwed births, a lower rate of unwed births than the white community. And they were very prosperous. Harlem was a almost solidly black, very prosperous community of well-dressed, well-kept black people. They weren't running around committing crimes like they do today. Okay, which shows that the races can live separately and peacefully. Okay? And so, next heading, yes, Pollyanna, segregation is Yahweh's law. In the 60s, the Jews and misguided liberals successfully agitated against segregation, not by popular consent, nor at the ballot box, but by bullying the people of the South with armed federal troops. I remember as a child on television watching this.
Yep.
Okay, I was maybe 11, 12, something like that, but I knew something was wrong, right? That the government shouldn't be pointing weapons at its own citizens.
Yep.
Okay, but that's what happened, folks. That episode of our history is utterly ignored.
I was engaged in the Wallace for President campaign.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I was one of his supporters back then.
Yes, yes.
So and then they got to him later.
Yes. So with these three basic laws of separation operating in us, we can successfully navigate in mixed company, although we should avoid it, as you said. We can engage in trade, okay, with them.
Sure.
And as the blessing to the world, which Abraham's descendants were promised to be, we have, you know, turned absolute deserts into blooming fields, right? And we've improved the livelihood of countless races all over the world with our colonization. The colonizing went sour when the Jewish bankers got involved and the Jewish opium dealers got involved and the Jewish diamond smugglers and gold smugglers got involved, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. Diamonds are just rocks. They're good for industrial stuff, but they're so common, they're really worthless.
Mm-hmm.
But they have engineered and restricted diamond production
mm-hmm.
to artificially raise the value of
right.
the diamond.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you get rubies and emeralds. They are far more rare than diamonds. Diamonds, mm-hmm. man, you can go along. That's why they have mines on the beaches of some of the in South Africa.
Yeah.
Because they're laying all over the beach. There's
right.
pockets of diamonds out in the open.
Yeah.
They have patrol boats to keep people from
yeah.
diving and coming up with a lot of diamonds.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a manufactured demand.
If they distributed the diamonds that are available, they'd be worthless. You
yes.
get a diamond ring for $5.
Right. right.
Because the silver or gold would cost that much.
That's right. That's right. Now, gold
it's all artificial.
Yes.
The most rare is platinum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have a lot of that in South Africa, too, along with uranium. Yeah, South Africa is one of the most mineral-rich countries in the world. That's why the Rothschilds and other Jews have made constant war against the Boer people to take all of that natural wealth away from them and disenfranchise them. That's the true story of the Boer people. It's all
about money.
Yeah.
Everything they do is about money and gain.
Mm-hmm. Gain, isn't that what Cain means in the Old Testament?
If there was no minerals down there, they wouldn't have cared who lived there.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have gone there. There was no reason. There was no profit incentive. They wouldn't have gone there. But there
right.
is. Therefore, they have to take it over. And they can't have those pesky Christians there, those
mm-hmm.
Boers. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still trying to exterminate the Boer people even today because they want to destroy all that history because there are Boers who know the truth and that all of this persecution by the international Jew is the real story. And all
yeah.
of this fake stories of Boers persecuting blacks is a lie.
I wonder okay. how they're doing with that separation of that little country down there.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get a hold of Pastor Martins to find out how that's going. Okay? And there was supposed to be, you know, an arming of white people against
the
blacks.
The Khoi people, yeah, they were going to, they're
mm-hmm.
a different, they weren't a real dark black. They're a different race entirely.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. All
and
right,
they
so,
used to hunt. They used to hunt them for sport.
Mm-hmm. right, like buffalo. Right. All right,
right.
Serpent. What most Christians are taught that the serpent of Genesis 3 was a literal snake. This is absurd. The Hebrew word nachash describes a subtle, cunning deceiver. And the word literally means whisperer, as one who whispers suggestions in your ear. From
now, whisper spells.
Mm-hmm.
The word nachash means enchanter.
Enchanter, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
whispers,
definitely.
Whisper spells like the hiss of a snake.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it
yeah.
means.
Yeah, the image I was trying to convey here is like a little devil whispering in your ear. right.
Yeah, the devil made me do it.
Yeah,
the
there
devil
you go.
Made me do it.
yeah, but what made you listen to the devil? right. From the following linked website, I have chosen a very eloquent quote regarding the true understanding of this word as used idiomatically to designate the deceiver in the garden. Now, just because a word is used idiomatically or metaphorically does not mean that a literal intent isn't meant. In fact, most of the time, a literal intent is meant. But the idiom is, how should I put it? Usually it's euphemistic language. Like when three teenage girls get together and one of the girls spent the night with her boyfriend and the other two girls ask her, did you go all the way, right? Well, she knows what they meant by that, right? Did you have intercourse is what they meant by that. It's just a euphemistic right. way of putting it, all right? So from www.eagle-wheels.com, when Satan is spoken of as a serpent, quote-unquote, it is the figure hypocatastasis or implication. It no more means a snake than it does when Dan is also called in Genesis 49:17 a snake, or an animal when Nero is called a lion, 2 Timothy 4:17. Or when Herod is called a fox, Luke 13:32, or when Judah is called a lion's whelp. So what he's saying, in none of these cases are we to take the word, the animal figure, literally. Okay? But right. it's intended to be descriptive of the person. So what he's saying here is, That Satan is some kind of a person, a biped, a humanoid, is what he's suggesting here, not a literal snake. Of course, we in identity understand this.
It implies a characteristic to that person. Like he's a deceiver, he's a snake, which is a sneaky, slithery type of person.
Yeah,
Judah's a lion's whelp.
Yes.
Okay, he's a son. He's a lion's whelp. Means he's fierce.
Right.
A fierce fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The sly fox.
Herod.
Designation.
Yeah, he was definitely a sly fox.
Right. You know, that's the whole... people try to literalize everything. There's a lot of poetic language in Scripture. There's a lot of idiomatic language in Scripture. There's a lot of euphemisms.
Mm-hmm. Lots of them, yes.
And just, you know.
Yeah.
People try to do that to deliberately deny the Bible or to change the meaning.
Right, right.
It's not accidental. It's right. done... deliberately.
Yes, absolutely.
By people that are trying to divide and conquer.
Yeah. You know, right.
That's what it's done. It's a machination of the enemy.
Yeah. So, if a figure of speech is thus employed, it is for the purpose of expressing the truth more impressively, to make a good impression on your mind, and is intended to be a figure of something much more real than the letter of the word. Okay? So, when Judah is called the lion's whelp, it's sort of an exaggeration, but not really, because he was a fierce fighter. Right? And that's...
The lion of Judah is the symbol. It's symbolism is what it is.
Right? Right? And it's ultra-descriptive, which does not mean that he was a lion, nor was Nachash a literal snake. That's the point. So here, this is a Judeo-Christian theologian who understands what's being said in Genesis 3.1, okay? That this serpent is some kind of two-legged animal, okay? Continuing. Those who believe that the serpent of Genesis was a literal talking snake are in critical need of this arsenal of words. Furthermore, there are even those within Christian identity who do not understand this. I'm referring to the non-seedliners. So I am relying on you to share this arsenal of information with as many white brethren as you can. Why? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and they believe myths. They believe myths, not figures of speech.
Well, it's ongoing. They'll see something on the internet and run with it.
Yes.
They don't investigate it. There's so much BS on the internet.
Yes.
You have to be very, very careful. You have
EFR
to be discerning. You have to investigate. You have to have knowledge. They've got all this cult business going on, like Flat Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I have quit just completely. I don't debate with Flat Earthers. I don't talk to them. When they tell me they're Flat Earth, you don't get any more of my valuable time.
Right.
I've wasted enough time on those people. I'm not giving them any of my time. I'm busy. I'm publishing. I'm doing radio shows. I'm in productive work. I don't have time to play with those people. They
yes.
don't deserve it. They're yes. not going to get my precious time. I'm not going to give it to them. Well, you don't respect us. You're right. I don't respect you.
Right.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have nothing but contempt for you.
Well, it's also an indictment of the public school systems, they can't even identify the U.S. on a map.
These people are bored. That's what they're bored. Right? They want to have controversy to excite their lives and to attract attention to themselves, and that's mm-hmm. all it is. There
yes.
is no basis for Flat Earth. Not
yes.
scientifically, they want to deny
yeah,
science.
Nor biblical.
Biblical.
It's a distortion of the Bible.
Violently yeah. angry if you.
Yes,
disagree.
They do. Yes,
and
they
I
do.
And I just don't want to talk to them anymore. I just don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Go yeah. believe what you want to believe. The moon's made out of green cheese, and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy will back you up on it.
Right. So very good.
Have a nice day. Bye. Bye for now.
Israel, the body of Christ. One of the major defects of the Judeo-Christian apostasy is the failure to teach the concept of national Israel, the corporate body of Christ. Many identity authors have remarked that the vast majority of the Bible references to Israel are addressed to the whole nation of the people as a race, family, and corporate body, with an identity and purpose reserved to the service to Yahweh through Yahshua. Although the commandments and judgments are to be observed by us as individuals, their purpose is to bring about a just society of Israelites, namely the kingdom. The teachings that are addressed to this exclusive nation are referred to as the gospel of the kingdom.
That's right. That's what Christ preached. He didn't preach individual salvation running up. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I'm born again.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
in contradistinction to this corporate message, mainstream churchianity teaches the gospel of personal salvation, thus distorting the national message into an individualistic message, the aim being the salvation of the individual believer.
Yep, that's what I just said.
Yes.
I'm born again.
Right? Yeah, and Israelites magically become believers, spiritual Israel, churchians, right? Churchgoers, right?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Everything but true physical Israel. This perversion of the gospel totally obscures the national intent of the gospel of the kingdom. Under the influence of the televangelists, this gospel has become even more perverted into the gospel of success in this world, taught by the likes, kikes of Joel Osteen, Mike Murdoch, Joyce Meyer, and the new yid on the block, Paula White, preaching personal prosperity in her fashionable skyscraper heels. Okay. In a recent TV sermon, she talked about God's principles, purpose, and presence without ever mentioning his law. Then she said, quote, "If you stand with Paula White Ministries, good things will happen to you," unquote.
Yep.
This is a come on, folks. This is yep. all these televangelists do, right?
If you send me $500, you'll be
you
blessed.
You get 50 bucks in return.
I'll get that check and I'll put it in my bank account mm-hmm. and I'll say, bless you, brother. Thank yes. you very much. I need to make that payment on my latest Cadillac.
Yeah. Yes. What they're actually doing is setting themselves up as intermediaries between God and your happiness. They're the intercessors.
You can give your money to the Lord, but I'm going to give you my
load, and I get 90%. Right? Oh, man. I can't believe that Christians actually fall for this stuff, but they do. Okay. His people, national Israel, are supposed to tarry until he comes. John 21, 22 through 23. Now, actually, let me dial that in. John
occupy
chapter.
Occupy until I return.
Mm-hmm. And John.
Even unto death.
Yeah. So while I'm looking for that, Pastor Steve, occupy, what does that really mean? It's neither tarry nor occupy are actually very good translations here.
Well,
as
occupy means occupy your temple and your space in the world. Don't give any ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't give any ground to the enemy.
So be steadfast.
Don't play their little games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stand fast in the truth. Stand fast in the word, even if it hurts your social standing or finances in this world. Don't worship this world. Mm-hmm. Don't worship stuff. Don't try to accumulate stuff. Stand with the word. Mm-hmm. Stand with the teachings of Yeshua. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And there yes. is a price to pay for that.
Yeah.
And that's what most people of the Judeo-Christians are not ready to do.
Mm-hmm. So in English,
we see in Christian identity the price because we are so persecuted.
That's right.
Because we dare to stand for the truth.
Yeah. So in English, the word occupy has taken on the meaning of, you know, just be there. Right? Occupy.
No.
This is more
it's
like
a
stand.
Military occupation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A military occupation. You are in the army of God. You are a soldier of Yahweh, and you must behave as a soldier and hold that battle line.
Right. So it's a very active, almost, as you're suggesting, almost militaristic, but it means stand fast. It means right. don't give ground. That's don't easy. Back
don't
down.
Don't back off. That's
mm-hmm.
right. Don't let apostasy creep in just because you like somebody personally
right.
or they have a little bit of the truth. You don't go along with their apostasy because they might be a buddy.
Yes.
And then they'll get angry if you stand up and correct them. No, look, this is what the word says. You're wrong there.
Yeah.
Well, then you're not my friend anymore.
Well, yes.
That's on you.
Mm-hmm. So the law is the national covenant with Israel. Okay,
correct. Is a covenant.
Mm-hmm. With the nation of Israel. Okay.
And there are stipulations and rules when you make
right,
a covenant.
Right. And what we pointed out in Acts chapter 13, our study on Yahweh's covenant people, was at Pentecost, the only people assembled there were Israelites. Okay. And what they did was they confirmed the new covenant by having to accept Yahshua as the high priest of the priesthood of Melchizedek, initiated
the
new covenant.
King of righteousness, Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm. So that was another national covenant, the new covenant of Israel with Yahweh. Okay? So, again, it's still totally exclusive, and it's still we still abide by his laws, the only exception being the elimination of the ritual sacrifices, which were fulfilled by Yahshua Messiah.
Yep.
Okay.
How are we doing on time, brother?
Okay, good question. We were getting into this. Okay. We have about 25 minutes, something
like that.
All right,
good. Yeah. We can keep on keeping on.
Yeah, and I think we'll finish this document today. And so let me jump down. Okay. Do not let any Jew tell you that racism is hatred. It is not wrong to defend your family from attack. It is not wrong to defend your neighborhood from attack. It is not wrong to defend your community from attack. Now, of course, we have the white nationalists who believe that Jesus was a pacifist because he used that term, turn the other cheek. Right? But
that's only to the brethren.
That's right.
It's not to the non-whites.
Mm-hmm. And it's not to an invading army. Right? He also said, bring hither those who would not worship me and slay them before me. But they never hear that quote from Luke.
No.
They never hear that quote. All right? So, again, both the Jews and the Judeo-Christians have so distorted the word that white nationalists falsely believe that it is a pacifistic document. It is not. It is absolutely not.
And sell your cloak and buy a sword.
Yeah,
if it were not for what I have to do in order to redeem Israel, mine would fight.
Right, right. Now, and also he fashioned a whip and beat the moneylenders out of the temple.
Cat of nine tails.
There you go. So he was by no means a pacifist. But the Judeo-Christians have deluded them because they mistake the two Advents. The first Advent, he came to redeem Israel. So he had to be as a defenseless lamb. He took on that persona himself to be our sacrifice. It also tells us when he comes, he will return as the Lion of Judah, and he's going to kick ass. Right? Yep. So they're only getting half the story. And I remind them, especially the pagans. Yeah, well, you pagans, you need to know some history, too.
All right.
Go ahead.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, that would be us, speaking to us, and to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. These are not little cherubim, little touchy-feely.
Oh, those little angels that make people fall in love?
Verse 8, mm-hmm. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and on those who do not, and here's the key word, obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. Verse 10, when he comes to be esteemed in his set-apart ones, that's us in the remnant, and to be admired among all those who believe in that day, because our witness to you was believed. That's not warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely.
That's right. Neither is the book of Revelation. We're talking fire and brimstone, folks. Fire and brimstone, which the churches have abandoned in favor of the Jesus loves everybody prosperity gospel.
Well,
talk about distorting the scriptures.
I preached one sermon in this one Baptist church. They asked me to do a sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah, right.
And yep. I was never asked Bing. Back again because yes. I did one of my typical wake-up call sermons, and I laid it on.
Out. Right.
In the mixed congregation out there with the queers and the beers and the spears and the mixed-race couples, and I laid Christian identity on them thick. And they just... They were sitting there with their mouth open.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, I can't believe he said that.
Yeah, right, right, right. It is most assuredly not wrong to defend your race from attack. Only in a very cynical world can the idea of self-defense be called racism. It is quite the opposite. Racial integrity and brotherly love go hand in hand, and that's what the Bible teaches.
Charity begins at home.
Amen. This is where brotherly love is added to the law of Israel and must become our habitual national attitude. Of course, this is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But this is only true of the Adelphos. It only applies to the Adelphos and no other people. The reality is that in this world, we practice for every man for himself, putting our own interests before the corporate body. So if your consciousness is not devoted to building the kingdom, and the vast majority of people who call themselves Christians today are not about the kingdom, they're about the gospel of personal prosperity, you are still engaging in the selfishness of this world, which is exactly the emphasis of the gospel of personal salvation, making personal success the pinnacle of their faith. That's where our people... and I don't blame white nationalists for mocking these types of Christians.
That's right. We mock them, too.
That's right.
But they have to understand the Jesus that they're preaching is not the Yeshua that we are preaching. Mm-hmm. The Jewish Jesus is not who we follow.
That's right.
It's the Israelite Redeemer, Yeshua, Son of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, with all the rules and penalties involved.
Yes.
Which is what the Judeos don't want to teach.
That's right. That's right. They don't teach anything. There's so little of their teaching that are, in fact, scriptural. I would say it's only 1%. 1% of Judeo-Christianity actually follows Scripture. The rest is all made up. That's how awful it is. That's really how awful it is. The tree of life. He is the tree. We are the branches. Because this is a family tree, only a certain type of DNA can partake of this tree. Only literal flesh and blood Israel shares both his spirit and his blood DNA. If our blood is defiled, we cannot share in the corporate body of Christ. Now that's spirituality, folks, and that's the extent of the spirituality. That doesn't mean we can't be spiritual people, but spiritual people in what sense? We obey his law, and we understand that we are part of this corporate body edging toward the kingdom.
We're set apart. Mm-hmm. That's the whole key word, set apart. Not the same as the herd, but separate from the herd.
Yes, yes. If anything other than olives are spliced into our family tree, surely those alien branches could never produce olives. And this is a fact of when you try to splice different trees into a particular tree, like apples into a peach tree, that apple branch will continue producing apples and won't produce peaches. Right?
It does. Correct.
Yeah, and even there, those are pretty much the same family of fruit trees, okay? And for the most part, splicing incompatible branches onto trees doesn't work at all. It doesn't work at all. It's only compatible trees. And so we're not talking about, it has to be the same species, in other words, okay? So, only those of pure Adamic DNA contain the instructions necessary to create our spirit as the body is created. 1 Corinthians 15:44, the life is in the blood.
That's right.
Okay. And there was an insertion in the book of Acts where they actually inserted the word blood when it was not there in the original text. This is how they deceive us. And then they claim that that means the blood of all races. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Now, you, dear Israelite, can either accept this gift that has been offered to you or you can throw it away. Don't let the deceptive propaganda of the Antichrist tug on your heartstrings, causing you to inordinately sympathize with non-whites while your own race is being destroyed from within.
Boy, is that ever happening.
Yeah. It's...
By our own people.
Yes. Satan is using, and of course by that we mean his shoe leather devils, the Jews, is using white guilt to deprive you of your inheritance. You should know that the other races do not waste a moment worrying about whether whites are being treated fairly. Do they? Do blacks care whether white people are being treated? Do liberals care whether white people are treated? No. They don't care about white women being raped by Muslims. The injustice of the non-Israel world is all over the place. Their concern is not reciprocated. The history of the welfare state has demonstrated their total ingratitude in spite of the billions of dollars that the white middle class has paid in taxes to promote quote-unquote equality, while brainwashed whites are obsessing about the ultimate fate of non-whites. These same non-whites are calling you a white devil.
And well, I believe in equality of opportunity, but I don't believe that everybody is actually equal in ability.
That's absolutely right. There is no such thing as equality.
No.
Not even identical twins.
You can hand the door open. Look, if you qualify for this job and you are competent, you can get this job. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to get the job as a gift because you're a minority if you can't do the job.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you get a really dumb white guy and you get a smart black guy and you have a job opening and the black guy can do the job better, I don't see a problem with a business hiring the black guy.
Yeah, under current circumstances, because what we have is,
because they have responsibility to try to run their business, and they want to have the best people doing the work.
And if you can't find a white guy capable of doing the job, if you don't have a competent white electrician available, well, then you do the best you can, right?
The job
has to be filled until we can get our society straight again.
I work with black electricians that could just work rings around some of these white novices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were good.
Yeah.
No problem. As long as they do the job, it's about getting the job done at the end of the day. And their work was good. They were conscientious. They showed up on time. They were sober. Mm-hmm. And we had a bunch of white guys. We had hired twice as many because they'd show up drunk.
Right,
and
we couldn't have
somebody that was drunk or stoned working on electrical work because they'd kill somebody.
Absolutely, especially themselves. Right?
Well, worried about them is worried about killing somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, this is what all I, as a white employer, had to deal with this constantly. I can't tell you how many times I hired white guys who wouldn't show up because they were doing drugs, or when they did show up because they needed money, they were, still stoned from the night before and didn't do their job well. This is what I had to deal with as a white employer. I once hired a black guy who just never showed up. And when he did show up, he didn't do anything well, right? He was just a slough off. A pure, total slough off. And, this is kind of the general experience you have with blacks. But I agree. There are blacks who are competent and conscientious. Okay?
Yeah,
but that does not mean we advocate a racially mixed society. That's just having to deal with the circumstances we're in. Okay? So, but I prefer to scale down my company instead of hiring non-whites. That's what I prefer to do. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I didn't go for money. I went for Yahweh's law, and I'm still glad that I did. I made the right decision.
Yeah, quality rather than quantity.
There you go. All right, let me check, see how much time we have left here. We have about 8 minutes left. Okay, so let's finish this document. We're just about at the end, folks. Okay, so Matthew 7:6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. There's another metaphor, folks. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Of course, he's speaking to Israelites. When we the Judeo-Christian ministry has tried to convert blacks in Africa, Amerindians in America, and and Asians, these people do not have the same spirit. They cannot accomplish what his people Israel have been commissioned to accomplish. So we are not to even preach to them. However, Yahshua, and somebody called me on this, and Yahshua preached to before a mixed multitude. He was not preaching to them all. As we all know, the Sermon on the Mount was preached to a mixed multitude. And the apostles asked him, well, why do you speak in parables? And he says, because the secrets of the kingdom are for you to understand and not for them. Okay?
That's right.
So occasionally we have to preach to a mixed multitude to reach the Israelites in the audience. And that's exactly what we're doing here at Eurofolk Radio, because we know the ADL is listening. We know that blacks are listening.
We don't know or care who listens in.
Right, right.
But the message will go out and touch the hearts of those whom the message is meant for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. For two millennia.
Same way when I do my sermons, there are a lot of people out there that are already converted, already in the remnant, already believers, and they nod their head and they go along with it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, preach on.
But there may be one person out there that's not in the camp.
And who needs to hear it.
That's who needs to hear it. And if I can preach all these sermons and bring one into the remnant, that's a major victory. People don't understand. Well, you're not getting all these. No, it's going to be small. It's a remnant. It's a small part of the whole. I'm preaching and trying to do what other people did for me to bring me into the fold. Now it's my turn to pass it on. And if only a few hear it, then that's how it is. You don't quit. You just keep going until you just drop over.
That's right.
So,
shop till you drop.
You have to love your brethren that much that you will be rejected many, 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 many times. Well, how many times was Christ rejected?
Amen. Amen.
Aren't we following him? We're to follow his example. Well, they hated him before they hated us.
Yes, yes. So, new paradigm, last section. New paradigm or old paradigm? For two millennia, the catchphrase of Christianity, with all of its imperfections, has been the imitation of Christ. Not so with modern churchianity. From what can you do for Christ, we have devolved, regressed into what can God do for me, right? And even Kennedy, President Kennedy, had a version of this. He said, ask not what you your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, right? But modern Judeo-Christianity has become all about me, me, me. The same religion that has always counseled against selfishness has suddenly become fixated on self-improvement as an end in itself. What a reversal of philosophy. But of course, our people don't learn from history, and neither do the white nationalists. They assume that Christianity has always been this bad. Right?
No.
And it is bad, but it hasn't always been this bad. Okay?
Well, when I grew up, you didn't have blacks coming into your churches.
That's right.
They had their churches. You go on your side of town, and they would, if they would come, try to come in, the ushers would get them by the arms and escort them out.
Yes, yes.
Nope, you don't come in here. This is a white church.
And they weren't accused of being haters for doing that.
Nope.
Okay.
They just You will leave.
Yeah, that shows how much power.
We're going to demonstrate. Well, then you demonstrate off the property. Don't come on the property.
That shows how much power the Jews have taken over this country, because you can now be accused of being a hater for simply loving your own race, right?
Yep.
And following biblical law, right?
Racism is biblical.
That's right. So racial separation is biblical. Okay. Romans 14:7-8. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto Yahweh, and whether we die unto Yahweh. Whether we live therefore or die, we are Yahweh's.
That's right.
Okay. So
absolutely.
And this means you have to, what does he say? You have to love me more than your own family members.
That's right, because you'll have family members that'll go into apostasy, that disagree with you, that will live for the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can only show them by your actions your faith.
That's
it. If they choose not to come into the kingdom, that's their choice. Your true family is what Yeshua said. Who are my mother? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Mm-hmm. His brothers didn't agree with him and were picking on him.
Right. And
that's
participated.
Right in the scripture. They didn't want anything to do with, oh man, he's full of it. You know, that's our brother. He's nobody.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and his own family turned against him.
Yeah. Therefore, owing our being to him, we should show our gratitude and appreciation by following his grand design. That's why we must understand these scriptures. That's his grand design. The plan is enunciated.
Your true family is in the remnant of Yahweh.
Amen.
That's your real family. The ones that you're going to see for all eternity. Because the others, even if they were in your bloodline, they're going to be gone. And you won't remember them. You're not going to suffer, oh man, my brother, I'm worried about my... Nope. You won't have any... It's over.
Yeah. Well, we grieve for them because they have fallen away. But after they've fallen away and it can't be... you know, they actually become...
If they die in their sins... That's the end.
That's the end, right.
Can't help them.
That's the end, little girl. He rewards us as he... Father knows best. He rewards us as he sees fit, according to our faithfulness to him and his plan for reestablishing his kingdom right here on this earth. If we cannot accept life and existence on the Creator's terms, then, as Daniel said, we will reap shame and everlasting contempt. So these are the options. These are the options. The reason we have done this series on words as weapons is to demonstrate how easy it is to distort Yahweh's word, how easy it is to distort the Bible by redefining a word here and there, excluding, X-ing out a word, but the X'd out the word of Yahweh.
Adding
words and adding words and redefining words. The Jews have always been experts at doing this, and the Judeo-Christians are right behind them in doing the same thing. That's why we preach the word study method here. Get your concordance out when you read the scriptures and find out what it's really saying, not what they claim it's saying.
Right. Like that last section of Mark about casting the first stone. Whoever casts the first stone. It's not in there. It was added by an evangelist in the 12th century.
Okay, that's pretty late. That's pretty late. So, all right, folks, we have been doing our best to open the Bible to your eyes using the word study method. And this is why Pastor Steve is translating the Old Testament directly from the Hebrew into English without any, you know, deviancy between Latin and Greek in the Old, in the Old Testament, which is, sometimes it's three, four times removed from the original language. It's hard enough to translate a document from the original language into one language, let alone take translations and translations and translations and have any hope of knowing what we're talking about. All right?
A lot of work, but I think you're all worth it.
Yes. Amen.
My brethren, if I can, if by all my labors I can bring one in, I've won a victory.
Yes.
Praise Yahweh in all things.
All right. Very good. We're just about out of time, folks. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you next time.